This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not just a water sport. I knew it.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
That's us, dude.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. The Tom Likas Show, brought to you in part by the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. This, boys, is the perfect Father's Day gift. Get your Likas discount by using coupon code TOM101 at Mangrate.com. It's Mangrate. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. It's another hour that you normally wouldn't expect to get, but you're getting it right now. And that means you'll get to talk with our friend in his guise of criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Hey.
Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's going on?
I was just taking a look at this Michael Jace, Tom. He was in Forrest Gump. Did you know that?
and The Shield, yes.
No, The Shield everyone's talking about, but he was in Boogie Nights and Planet of the Apes, too.
Which Planet of the Apes? I guess the more recent.
Yeah, the remake, I would say. But yeah. This should tell you, you see, he beat the crap out of his first wife. It's amazing that a woman gets involved with a guy, and he tells her his history, and she's convinced that her and her magic vagina will protect her from a similar fate, you know?
He did
that to her, but he would, you know, to the last wife who's a bitch, but would never do it to the new one, of course.
Now, are the cops claiming that Michael Jace has confessed? Is that what they said?
Oh, it's worse. I think he did like Freddie Wilhite. He like said it over the phone. He said to the 911 operator, "I shot my wife, and come bring a police car, please."
I shot my wife in the face with 38.
Did you get that? That took Mikey hours, I want you to know.
I shot my wife in the face with 38.
That's great. I may have been the first person to hear that, by the way.
Oh, my. Look at that.
It's a beautiful thing.
I love
but
that.
You see the crossover, Tom. I have a case now really awful of domestic violence, and the wife got a restraining order against the husband, and the dumbass was like, I don't know what, trying to talk to her or something. He was still, like, lovelorn. I think when you get a restraining order, it's time to leave the woman alone. You know what I mean?
That's a big red flag,
I'd
say.
That's one of the biggies. But anyway, so he bothered her at some public something or other, and he's in jail. I went to see him in jail today. Pretty depressing. But this is like no fooling around. But you see why they take it as seriously as they do. Because as we see, these tendencies, and particularly the really crazy ones, you know, we talk about the fake ones, but the ones that are serious end up eventually sometimes leading to murder. And it's no joking matter. And apparently this guy did it in front of his two kids, which is even more unbelievable. And they're going to be traumatized for life, and obviously they're going to be orphans as well.
Jesus.
So anyway.
That's so pleasant. But
yes,
that's,
of course.
By the way, that's the world you live in. And
yeah.
Of course, most of the cases are not that serious, but there they are. Do you have a lot of cases like that where a guy is accused of like doing something like what Michael Jace is accused of doing?
You know, Tom, I hate to be mean about this, but I think I've said this before, and you usually shush me up. But I'm amazed, honestly, that it doesn't happen more, Tom. I'm serious. I've got cases where the wife, you know, is screwing the guy over with money and taking his kids and taking his house. And meanwhile, she's screwing a new guy, you know, in the house that he used to live in. And I'm amazed that these guys are so controlled that they don't go and kill the woman, because it's obviously certainly an impulse to do so. And you always said, Tom, that the woman will go into a bar and she'll sort out very quickly and find herself the biggest psychopath, right? And
right.
Then she's telling him, "I'm having the baby, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to have to live up to your responsibility."
That's right. That's what they do.
She's looking in the face of this maniac.
That's exactly right.
Oh, women got to be pretty fearless, you know?
It's pretty outrageous.
I know, but I mean, it's amazing of all the circumstances. I'm telling you, the fact that murder is so unusual is actually, I think, a beautiful thing. because it certainly has a greater tendency in the world.
Well, no doubt about that.
So anyway, I wanted to talk about tonight about what I would call the real world, Tom, and how cases really go and what really happens and different circumstances. And I have someone. I hope Dino has gotten him. Did he get him? I have
we got him right here.
Well, I have one of my clients. I want to talk to you about him. Give him a little intro. This was.
By the way, you're going to be calling him Ray. I don't know if his name is Ray, but you're going to be calling him Ray.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
Yes.
So Ray, basically, I'm not going to say which court this was, but it was Fullerton Court in Orange County, of course. But anyway, I'm just teasing. So I don't want to be indiscreet. But but Ray had a DUI. And we worked on it, and this is what I meant about real life. One of the nice things that we put into my commercial, which I think is a very honest statement, and you read it so well, Tom. You said something like along the lines of fight the charges and get them dismissed or at least get them reduced.
Right. Exactly.
And certainly I get charges dismissed very often, but one of the other things that I do is I try to get them reduced. So basically to try to get you the best possible deal and the minimum amount of punishment or whatever it is. And in the case of Ray, and Ray's going to tell the story, Ray took a deal for a DUI. The police had a lot of evidence against him, and he had done a lot of the things that we said not to do, which is cooperating and doing the breath test and touching your nose and all that nonsense. And so we got him a deal. And one of the things that he had to do, and this happens to a lot of people, Tom, and you'll remember this. You always complain about this Van Nuys 6:30 a.m. Saturday classes you had to take with the Bull Dyke or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So he got something along those lines with respect to drinking and driving, and he missed several of the classes. Now, this is catastrophic. When you don't follow through on the terms of the deal you've made with the state and the district attorney, essentially they have the right to put you in jail. And he missed several classes, and we walked into a hearing, and I got to tell you, I've been in front of this judge a few times. This is the judge who does the violations, and he puts people into jail left and right. And so Ray is going to tell us what happened. Ray, can we get him on?
Yeah, we're going to put Ray on right now. Hey, Ray, what's going on?
Gentlemen, how are you guys? Father Tom, it is always an honor to be on the phone with you and on the air.
Now, Tom,
thank you so much.
Tom, apparently Ray was reminding me that you saved his life once before.
I'll make it real quick. Sorry, Adam. I'll make it real quick, Tom, and I'll get into Adam's part of it. About 7 years ago, I went through a nasty-ass divorce, and I had never heard of you. And a buddy of mine turned me on to you, and I swear, ever since then, no wives, no girlfriends, no nothing.
Love that.
And Ray, didn't you call into Tom when he was on the terrestrial?
Yes, I did. I'm a single father, Tom, and that's part of what the headache was leading over back to Adam. Is I'm a single father. I got two kids, a 16 and 12 year old. I run my own firm. And to Adam's point about having to go to these DUI meetings, one of the things that, and it's my own fault. I'm not trying to pass fault on anybody else. But, if you miss one of those meetings, each break that you take in between those meetings counts as an actual class. So in essence, if you miss just one class, it can count as three. And that's where I got screwed. And again, my own fault. I'm not gonna try and blame somebody else, but, I went in basically on the after the fact that Adam really got me off on a really – I royally screwed up. So for him to give me the deal that I got, I was freaking floored and, you know, basically, you know, doing cartwheels. But when I found out – and the only reason I found out that I had been terminated from the DUI classes was I actually walked in one day to reschedule your meeting because you're not allowed to reschedule the day of. You have to be there in person to reschedule it. So they basically make it as hard on you as possible, which I get it. It's a money grab, and that's so be it. So long story short, the girl tells me, no, you've been terminated. So I make a beeline over to the courthouse, and sure as shit, I was terminated. I called Adam. He ripped me a new one, deservedly so, but with good intention. So I had to schedule a court date. And I had heard about this judge before, who just basically handed out 30-day court sentences, like, I mean, or jail sentences, like they were going out of style. So, Adam, you know, we sat there for a little while before the case or the trial, and he kind of walked me through it. And he told me straight out. He says, Ramon, there's pretty damn good likelihood you're going to jail. And when I got there, I didn't wear a watch. I didn't wear any jewelry. I didn't even drive there. I actually took an Uber car to have me take me over there because in my mind, I was going to spend the next couple days in jail. And I had my assistant ready to go. I had my parents ready to go to pick up my kids. I hadn't told my kids. And long, long story short, Tom, after all the information that Adam took down, he walked in, and I told Adam afterwards, she'd be a freaking poker player. Didn't volunteer a damn thing, just basically said about five or six words to the judge, explained to the judge what was going on, and just the judge said, okay, we both kind of shit bricks when he said a 30-day sentence, but then he said stayed pending reinstatement and re-enrollment in the DUI classes. So I obviously didn't say a word. Adam turned around and said, thank you, Your Honor. Wait outside. We got some paperwork for you. Walked outside, and I swear to God, Tom, if it wasn't for the fact that I'm a heterosexual male, I would have freaking dropped down on my knees and asked Adam to drop his drawers. Because I was freaking, I'm not kidding you, Tom. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was shitting bricks like you won't believe. The thought of having to go in there, even if it had been one day, it would have killed me, man, because, you know, the one thing that my kids do, they, especially my son, I mean, he looks up to me like I'm the world. So that was just beyond horrific. And I even told him, I said, you spent the last fucking 20 minutes grinding me about all the detail, and you didn't say one word about any of my stuff. And, you know, I had my own mea culpa in my head, just ready to recite everything, and didn't even look at me. Just went right to Adam. Okay, you guys are done. Get out of here.
No. You're not going to miss another class this time, are you?
Hell no. Matter of fact, I have it already preset on every one of my calendars, and I told my assistant from now on I have to be out of there every Thursday at 12:30 because I got to be in my class from 1 to 4. But I can't, and I've said this to Adam a million times, so Adam, forgive me if I'm going to, you know, break your ear with it, but thank you so much. It really does make a difference to have somebody in there. And I don't know if you remember, Adam, that dude that was standing there with us, the Green Bay jersey, you know, he only got like 2 weeks to get his stuff taken care of. Adam actually got me all the way till October to get my stuff taken care of.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Nice.
And I'll tell you, Tom, I've been in that room when I was waiting, and you could see people getting 30 days, 45 days, 60 days like it was nothing. And it really is theater. It really is. It's a poker game. It's a test of wills. It's a whole complicated thing going on. And what Ray said is right. I was prepared, and we were going to have this whole shtick, but I was trying to feel out the judge. And I explained it right at the beginning, and I sort of preempted what he was going to say. And he just laid it out. Okay, 30 days stayed, which means, you know, held. And it was a beautiful moment. And I really it was very emotional. It's hard not to be emotionally trying to be a professional, of course. But I really thought Ramon was going to lose it a couple of times there. Or Ray, wow, for that matter.
It's all right, Adam. Don't worry about it. I deserve a lot worse.
Wow! All right, now.
Ray missed two classes. You're not telling the whole truth there, Ray.
No. I missed two classes, Tom. But you're allowed to miss five according to the paperwork. What you don't understand is missing one actually equals three.
Yeah. So missing two was really six.
Exactly.
So it was more than five.
Do you miss more than five? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they do that intentionally,
yes,
just to make it difficult to follow?
Tom, I don't care what they say. There is no doubt about it. They do this shit to trip you up. It's a fact.
Well, can I throw something else in there, guys, for you? The other reason they do it is that every time, even though, Tom, I was going in there to reschedule it of my own volition, they still charge you for the three classes that you're about to miss.
Oh, of course.
Even though you came in to reschedule it. So now that I've called to reinstate my class, I have to pay for the two that the six that I missed, as well as a reinstatement fee. And here's the other kicker. They only do the reinstatements on certain days, which they don't tell you. So they make you sweat it because I have until the 28th to get myself reinstated. Well, I called the afternoon that we left, okay, and they didn't have any time today, which is the first Tuesday. The only time they had was next Tuesday, which is the 27th, coincidentally, or to make you sweat it, the day before you are required to get everything done.
Right.
And you can't even drive over there yourself. So I'm having my dad, who's being cool enough to drive me around right now. He's retired, so it's not a big deal, but he's actually driving me over there on the 27th. He's going to drive me to the court to submit the paperwork saying that, yes, I've been reinstated. But, again, they don't tell you any of this stuff. And when you talk to the girls that work at the place that you got to go for the Dewey class, they are the most non-knowledgeable. They give you nothing. I mean, you literally, if you don't go in there with every absolute most detailed question that you can think of, they volunteer nothing. So to Adam's point, it's A, probably to trip you up, but B, because it's a cash grab.
Well, that's the truth. It's a real cottage industry, Tom, and the cities and the towns and all are making a fortune, plus this industry of these alcohol education classes and domestic violence education classes. And you see how once you're in it, they don't want you to get out. They want you to keep staying in it. And as I recall, Tom, you had to tell the lesbian eventually that you were guilty and that was your only way to get out.
That's what I was told.
She would have kept you there another year otherwise.
Right. So I had to lie and say that I did it. I did it.
And what incentive do you have otherwise? I mean, if you think about it, right? She'd love to have you stay another year. She can keep collecting the frickin' tuition or whatever it is.
Right. Anyways. And all of these classes, by the way, they're like kind of like traffic school. They're licensed by the state of California.
Of course.
But they're these like private companies that run them. And,
drunk
driving classes are done by the alcoholics. The domestic violence classes are done by the lesbians. Yeah, you know, it's pretty outrageous stuff. But, you know, I do believe that if California wanted to eliminate drunk driving, that they would put people in prison for sure.
Right.
It wouldn't be any of this horse trading.
It would be
they'd put you away and then you would know
license.
They were serious.
What about
right.
taking your license away after the first or second time?
Right, especially, you know, by the way, in New York City, nobody would care. Everybody takes cabs, buses, and trains anyway. But here in Southern California, not having a driver's license means not making a living in most cases.
Right, right. Well, anyway,
I've always said, real quick, guys, and I'll get off the line. I've always wondered if drinking and driving was illegal, why do bars have parking lots?
Yeah, of
right.
course. Well, that's definitely true. And we see
exactly
that.
Right.
And you see here, Tom, this is the real world. And aside from Ray and I and this one or two other guys, there's a room full of people in T-shirts and jeans who didn't have lawyers with them. And I got to say, I think most of them probably got sentenced. Wouldn't you say, Ray?
Absolutely. And and you know what? And Adam, he emailed me the night before. He said, wear a suit, be there at a certain time. And now, granted, for me, Tom, it's easy because I am I'm in the financial services industry, so I wear a suit every day, so it's not that big of a pull. But I don't get these guys that walk in there like if you're just walking into forgive the pun, walking in to have a drink. It just at the end of the day for work.
Well, it definitely affects how you're perceived, and the perception by the judge is going to affect how he deals with you.
Yep.
And when you see people coming into a DUI hearing with a Budweiser can on their shirt, on a T-shirt, I mean, that's crazy. Seriously, Tom, I've seen that with the logo.
Well, I've seen people with the satire of the Mothers Against Drunk Driving bumper sticker, which is I forget what it was, but there was something. There's some way you jigger the letters around to have it say something like "Students Against Mad Mothers" or "Drunks Against Mad Mothers" or something like that.
Yeah, damn, D-A-M-M.
Damn, yes, and or the people with you know, marijuana leaves on their cars and stuff. What do you do? Seriously.
over here.
What are you doing?
Arrest me.
Oh, please.
This is where the Born to Lose t-shirt, you know?
Yeah. Amazing stuff. All right, Ray, well, I'm glad things worked out for you. And I know you learned
a million
lessons in the process here, but I'm thrilled, and I'm thrilled you find Adam through our show as well.
Can I just say one last little quick thing, Tom?
Sure.
First of all, again, I love your show, man. I love you to death. You have no idea, but I'm going to say this to all you guys out there. Don't be stupid. I hope you never need Adam's services, but if you do, and if you're dumb enough to do what I did, call Adam. You won't regret it. Trust me.
No, Thank you for that, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I appreciate the call. There goes Ray. Wow, what a story.
Crazy stuff, you see?
I know.
What ends up happening, Tom, is that, you know, we get in there, and because he has counsel, I mean, we got called first. And we took care of it, and like he said, he was wearing a suit, he was coming in sharp, he was prepared, and the judge is like, okay, chop, chop. But 2 hours later, when he's getting to the other people in the room, and they're coming in like slobs, and they're not prepared, and they don't have good excuses, you're already lost. You know, wars are fought and won and lost before they're even started. And when you come in, you know, unprepared, you're dead.
Wow. That's amazing stuff. You know, again, it goes with what I said before we started doing this show every weekend. I mean, it goes with what I've always said. You know, if you think you're saving money by not having a good attorney, you're kidding yourself. It's crazy.
Oh, come on. Don't even get me started.
I would not make a move. I don't look at a piece of paper without handing it right over. And I never sign anything or initial anything or do anything. And, yes, I up for good legal help, but I've never lost money in the long run. And, thank goodness I haven't had a DUI, but in the long run, I'll tell you what, if I had a DUI, I'd be in there represented by counsel. I wouldn't be an idiot like some of these guys. Walking in there thinking I could ace it myself. That's insane.
Well, anyway, so the important thing to remember is that it's not just the case and it's not just the sentencing and so forth. It's all the different aspects. You always have the right to an attorney. And so even when you have something like this where you're going in front of a judge regarding a violation of the terms, you still have the right to counsel, and it's going to make a big difference. Now, even if I wasn't your lawyer on the case or you had, some kind of plea or you had a public defender, if you are coming back and there are questions and there are issues like this where you're trying to get reinstated for your classes and it's a possibility that they won't reinstate you, you still need counsel, and you always have the right. One thing that happens in America people don't understand, you always have the right to counsel, always.
Even though the cops might try to make it seem like you don't.
The cops are always trying to outsmart you. They're always trying to talk logic to you. I talked to a woman yesterday on the phone, Tom, and apparently her brother-in-law had made some kind of a complaint, and the police were apparently turning it around on him, but he didn't even realize that. So they tell him, just come downtown, come to the police station, just to clear things up. I mean, that's classic police talk. Come in, clear things up, you know, organize it with us, just help us understand the story. So he went downtown without a lawyer, of course, and he was arrested on the spot. You know, it's a lot easier for them if you come in than they have to go get you, right?
Of course.
And I said to her, I said, what did you expect? What did you think was going to happen? And she said, well, I don't know. I was really surprised that the police acted that way. Again, it's a misunderstanding, as we've talked in the past, about what their job is. You know, their job is to put people in jail. I went to see this guy that I mentioned before who was in jail because of this domestic violence case. And he was telling me how the jailers, it was like the guards or whatever, were telling him that he was probably going to get released in a few hours. And I said, you're not getting released in a few hours. But he was arguing with me. It's like he needed it to be true. You know, he wanted to believe it. So he's telling me the guards are telling him he's going to be released. So I said, since when are you taking legal advice from the police guards, for God's sake? Can you believe these guys?
Oh, my.
People are always telling me, oh, well, the officer who arrested me told me that this wouldn't be on my record. And you're going, oh, that's nice. And I told you, Tom, sometimes they know his name. And they say, you know, Officer Jones, he promised me. I'm like, okay, well, go look for him. He's the one who's going to be testifying against you, fool. Not your friend. His job is to put you in jail, for God's sake.
You may have some questions for Adam Sachs.
I hope so.
He's here in the guise of criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Have you been accused of doing something bad, whether you did it or you didn't, or maybe you were already convicted and you need to have something expunged from your record, Adam is here to tell you how that can be done. He does all of these things every day in court, and it's kind of like free legal advice right now for you if you call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. Dial us now. Dial quickly. 901-3000-866.
No transmitters. No satellite dishes. No corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, boys. Mangrates are back, and as always, for Father's Day, you know there's only one perfect gift. It's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. Now, what are Mangrates? They're 100% made in America cast iron grilling grates that you use with your existing grill. These heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve that steakhouse flavor you've been looking for and those perfect grilling marks. Now, with Mangrate's patented design, chicken, steak, or frankly, whatever you grill, never tasted so good. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Now take advantage of their $19.99 Tom Likas Show special today by entering the coupon code TOM101 at Mangrate.com. As a bonus, every order comes with a heavy-duty Mangrate grilling brush. Hook your dad up this Father's Day. Use the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show, especially when Dino takes a hot sauce challenge.
Let me catch my fucking breath. I think I may have been too liberal. Rub my fucking nose. I put too much. I'm serious.
Guts, glory, stupidity. The Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
I'm serious.
Okay, boys, let's talk about Step-Ups. That's Step-Ups' top-quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where Step-Ups come in. With Step-Ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, Step-Ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing Step-Ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your Step-Ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get Step-Ups today.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour at 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM. 866. Let's go to your calls here. Brandon. Brandon's calling from Walnut, California. Brandon, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Long-time listener. I'm a frequent caller.
Love your show. I listen all the time.
You're so well-informed.
Yes, you are. Hey, Tommy. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's
I had
up?
A question for you, Adam.
Sure.
I was arrested for nunchucks. It was a
nunchucks.
Halloween party. Yeah, nunchucks.
Oh, you gotta be
kidding,
man.
They profiled a black man and they got me for nunchucks because they were in my car after a Halloween party.
But if you know that you're a black man, what are you doing with nunchucks?
Because it was a couple of weeks after the party. I just left them in the car. I didn't think nothing of it. I didn't know they were a dangerous weapon.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, so I got pulled over, and the cops searched my car.
Whoa, wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. Where did we get from getting pulled over to getting your car searched? There's a couple of steps in between. So you got pulled over. What'd you get pulled over for?
Well, no, I didn't get pulled over. I was in the parking lot at a motel.
Okay.
And he happened to pull in and see me in my car and thought I was doing something illegal, which I wasn't. I was just waiting for my girlfriend to come out.
Okay. But, I mean, they don't have any right to search your car.
True. And back then, I didn't know. This was back in 2008, 2007, okay. Around that time.
Okay.
So I paid all my fines, and I ended the community service. I did everything that I was supposed to do, and I actually got the record expunged.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I'm trying to enter into the medical field, and I know if you have anything on your record that they would not that you even take the state or federal test. My question to you is, even though it's expunged, would they find it and deny me the opportunity to get my license?
Yes. Okay. So the thing about expungement, and I've been doing a lot of them, and it really makes people happy. It's something great to do because obviously you make a mistake, and this is a way of cleaning it up. There is a whole question as to what it essentially means. And what it means is that your conviction is essentially undone. So you could literally say, if someone said to you, have you been convicted of, you know, whatever it was, having a violent possession of weapon or whatever, you can say no because your conviction was overturned and erased. When it comes to certain jobs, however, and particularly this is so when you're getting certain professional licenses or when you're going to work for the government or the federal government or state governments or whatever, there's going to be the question, have you ever been convicted? You could say no. But when you talk about not telling them, I think that that's a very risky thing to do. Generally speaking, when you make applications and so forth, they do not want to find things. It's going to be much stronger for you to come clean on the application, and you can write a few sentences about how you made a youthful mistake and it's been expunged, and they will accept that. They really will. You'll be okay. But to not put it and to be a wise ass and then for them to find it, then you're dead. If the Human Resources Department finds it later, and owing to the way the world is today, where you have all these computer databases and police databases and FBI records and all this other stuff, these things, you know, are always going to be stored someplace. So if they discover it in the course of their due diligence on hiring you or when they do reviews later on or whatever, you know, you're going to get called into the office someday and they're going to say, hey, are you the same, you know, Joe Blow here who got convicted in, you know, whatever year? And if you have to say, yeah, you know, but I got that expunged and blah, 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 they're not going to accept that for an answer because they're going to feel that you withheld information. And so I'm afraid that generally speaking, you know, you can definitely get your guns back and you can say you were never convicted and all these other things. When you're making certain kinds of applications like for, you know, federal jobs and so forth, or if you're applying to be a licensed attorney or real estate agent or whatever, you should probably disclose it. That's really the truth.
What about medical field? Do you know if you should disclose it for them too?
For what now?
The medical field.
Well, I don't know exactly what you mean, but if you're trying to be a nurse or a doctor or something?
I'm in the process of becoming an x-ray tech. I'm actually in school right now.
Yeah. That's a good job, by the way.
I'm
telling you, if you put it on your application and you describe it the way I have, I think you'll be fine. You'll still get your tech license, and then you don't have to look over your shoulder. I think that when you do disclosures, you should try to do full disclosure. You try to be as honest as possible, and so you don't have anything to come back and haunt you. That's the real truth.
So be as honest as possible and show all the evidence that it was expunged. I got the court docket.
So what? By the way, if I was interviewing you and I like you as a candidate, you've got a couple of things I'm not sure about. You know, so I've got the pros and the cons. So I say to you, hey, what's this? You had a DUI in 82? And you say, oh, God, stupid thing. I'm so embarrassed. You know, I got it expunged. Youthful indiscretion. I'll forget all about it. What's going to get me hysterical is if you lie to me. You don't tell me about it, and I find it. It's always the cover-up that gets you, worse than the crime itself.
All right. Sounds good to me. Now, should I come to you to see, to make sure it was expunged? They gave me the court document and said everything was expunged. The judge actually gave me, he took me off of probation early because I finished the community service and I finished everything.
Okay.
He took me off of probation early. So, I'm 100% sure it's expunged, but should I come to you for you to double check it? Or
oh, I don't mind.
Can I just go ahead and...
Yeah, there's no charge for that. I'll just take a look at your papers if you want me just to take a look. That's no big deal. But, I mean, if you got it expunged, I mean, who did it for you?
I'm sorry?
When you said
who
you
did it for me?
Yeah, you said you'd gotten it expunged, right?
Yeah, just me. I didn't have a lawyer.
Oh. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll take a look at it if you want. I mean, you shouldn't do these kinds of things yourself because you may think you did it and you
never
really do it or something. I got a lot of guys that told me, you know, oh, I did this, I did that, and I look at their papers, and it's all wrong, you know. So be careful. I'll take a look at it for you if you want, just to verify it. But, you know, you're on the right track, and I'm really glad that you're improving your life and you're going back to school and everything. And I really think that, as I said, the full disclosure is probably the way to go.
Good luck, Brandon. Thank you for the call. 901-3000-TOM. Joe is in Orange County. Joe, you're on the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Tom? How's it going, Adam?
Cool. What's
great.
Going on?
Great. I was just calling because I guess the ex-girlfriend has a document, or she's trying to get me for the domestic violence case against me.
I'm sorry to hear it, man.
Yeah, but it's false allegations, so... That's what I wanted to call to see how I can prove that.
Okay.
And then also, is it correct for her brother to serve papers to my 9-year-old son?
Oh, that's horrible. Certainly not. Papers can only be served upon an adult, and it's supposed to be on you.
Yes.
I don't know who her brother is, but if he's 18 or older, that's okay.
Yes.
He can serve you, but he's not supposed to serve your child. That's disgusting, and that's
okay,
bad service.
Okay, what can I do about that?
Well, let me talk to you about domestic violence for a second. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Domestic violence, generally speaking, is criminal law, of course, but there's a big crossover between the two things that I do, which is criminal and family law. You know, originally the theory of domestic violence, and this went back to some of the first battered shelters in England, actually, is where they started, was, you know, that actually battering went both ways. And there were studies that showed that women and men were actually quite equally likely to provoke fights and to start fights and to be violent. Women tended to get more injured because men were stronger, generally, but women were more likely to injure men using weapons because women are more likely not to just use fists but to throw things. And, Tom, you can attest to this, right? What was that remote control thing, as I recall?
Oh, yeah. No, I had a chick who I had one of these early... I'm an early adopter of technology.
Always.
And you know how we have tablets now, and among the other things you can do on your tablet, you can program them to be the remote control for your TV. But back about 13 years ago, I had one of the early models, which was the size of a brick. It was very large and very heavy with a touchscreen on it. And, yes, I have an ex who was upset that the home page on my touchscreen was a picture of me signing some breasts at a listener party.
So very rational thinking, essentially.
Yes. Now, the guy who built the touchscreen for me, I actually had to have somebody program it, he was a listener. He thought it was funny to put this on the as the home page on my remote control. And I thought it was, you know, fine. That's funny. It's unique. Who has that on their TV remote control? So keep in mind, I must have signed 10,000 breasts over the years. And so this chick looks at the remote control and says, "Who is this?" I don't know. I do this every day. I don't know who is it. I want to know who it is.
You're fucking her. I know you're fucking her.
Yeah. And so she literally, she took this thing, which was about 10 pounds in weight, and she threw it at me and missed, and it went right through the drywall. Almost came out the stucco on the other side of my house. Just came out.
Unbelievable.
Threw it at me, leaving a big gaping hole in the wall.
So, yeah. Tom, you can testify to what I'm saying, that domestic violence goes both ways.
Oh, it definitely does. Well, no doubt about it.
Don't tell the lawmakers that, because the big thing that was passed and then it was strengthened about 2 years ago to much fanfare with the federal government and Joe Biden and all this stuff was what's called VAWA, which is the Violence Against Women's Act. And it basically codified the whole principle, essentially, just by the name, that it's violence against women that we're concerned about. And what happens in divorces and even in regular cases where people aren't married is that women will start the case with a domestic violence claim. And some of them are true. We see this crazy actor shooting his wife dead. And that does happen, of course. And they had a history of violence, apparently. But also, a lot of these cases are not true. And as you've described, your case is a false claim of domestic violence. But what's very unfortunate is that by starting the case that way, and I don't know exactly where we're going here in your case, but that puts you at a substantial disadvantage in terms of custody, visitation of children, and then the financial settlement as well. And I've had cases where the husband was accused of domestic violence, and here it is 2 or 3 years later, and that's ancient history. That's at the very beginning of the divorce case, and the judge is still holding it against him. You're still that scumbag that hit your wife, and that ends up hurting his ability to get visitation and custody. It's presumed that she should have sole custody and that he should have a minimum visitation. And then on top of that, in terms of the calculations for settlement and support, everyone is sympathetic to her because she was the abused woman. So I don't know exactly what happened in your case, but it's very typical that that's a claim that gets made, particularly at the beginning. So, as I understand, you weren't married, but you have a child with this woman?
I have a child with her, yes.
And how old's the child?
3 years old.
Yeah, you see? So the big issue now is she's probably not with you anymore. She hates your guts, and so she wants
to... Well, and that's the thing, too, because I caught her with another male.
Oh, why not?
So,
yeah, listen, there's no... Tom, tell him. Is there such thing as a faithful woman?
No, I know that now.
Well, put it this way. The ones you want are rarely faithful.
Right.
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 The ones you don't want are the ones who are as loyal as a puppy dog.
Get yourself a fatty, I guess.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The thing is that what ends up happening at the end of the relationship, first of all, is she wants support from you, but she also fantasizes that she's going to find a new man and he'll be the father of that child and she'll push you out of it. But the key to you will be to get money from you. And then to have the most minimum, if not zero, connection between the child and you. And she'll tell the child, guess what? My new boyfriend, that's your dad. And it's an ugly thing that women do. And
well, then the next day she had locked the children in the vehicle with the windows up. And I have taken pictures of that, and I called CPS as well. So.
Yeah, but again, calling Child Protective Services is a terrible mistake. A lot of guys think that that's a brilliant thing to do. And people like to do it, especially, I'm sorry to say, because it's free. It's an 800 number, and you don't have to hire a lawyer, and you just call them and yippee-yahoo. But the problem is that they tend to side with the woman. They will go after abuse, but what ends up happening is they suck you in also. So I know a lot of cases where they go after one of the parents, let's say the mother, and they say she's abusive. But then they also go after the father, and they say, well, he's neglectful. He should have seen the abuse and stopped it in some way. And so they take the child away from the two of you and put the child in foster care. So I don't see how that helps anybody. I've dealt with that agency. Tom, you want to talk about nasty lesbians? I'm sorry, Tom. the DCFS. It's on the front page of the LA Times every couple of weeks now. These terrible incidences where they didn't respond and children end up getting killed or whatever, and they have a real political bent. They're social workers. If you look at who becomes a social worker in the United States today, it's a young girl who's got issues with her father, and she thinks she's going to save the world, and she learns this extremely kind of left-wing view of, like, families and so forth. And so when she walks in and she looks at you as the father, you're a rapist, you're an abuser. The woman, she's the victim. The children have to be protected from both of you. I mean, this is the kind of circumstance. And so when I talk to you now and you're telling me you called the protective services on her, I think that's a terrible mistake. Wow. If you want to deal with custody and visitation, you've got to get yourself a lawyer. Obviously, the child is very young, so you've got years and years ahead of you dealing with raising the child. And if this woman is doing stupid things and charging you with domestic violence, you have to fight those charges. And I understand the service was done by the brother onto the child or whatever. That's stupid. But you're not going to beat this with a technicality like that. You're going to need to get yourself a lawyer and make a defense and fight the charge. I have fought a lot of domestic violence charges and gotten them dismissed. And you have to be able to then turn it around and say to the judge, look, she's doing what's called parental alienation, which means that she's trying to prevent you as the father from being involved in your child's life and alienating you from the child, and that's something that you have to fight back against. I tell guys all the time, you never assume that the woman is supposed to have custody. There's no reason today it's equal. The man can get custody, and if she's screwed up and she's doing stupid things like alienation, you should take custody and raise your child and get child support from her. There's no reason that a man is supposed to pay child support to a woman. It can be just the opposite. And too many guys are doing passive things and, oh, she's a bitch. Or they go to court and they say, oh, you know, I wasn't served the papers correctly. I was served by, to a 9-year-old. I mean, that's very exciting, but that's not going to win the case for you. You're going to have to do better than that. And in the end, if you don't make a real defense and you don't protect yourself, she's going to win the domestic violence case. And then from here on in, you're going to end up having one weekend a month with your kids supervised. And I don't see why you would want to have children under those circumstances. That's horrible.
All right, Joe, I'm going to put you on hold, and Dean is going to get you in touch with Adam, and you can talk it over with him off the air.
What ends up happening, Tom?
Tell these details. Yes.
Yeah, what ends up happening, Tom, is you see how in what this is called the law of unintended consequences, where you have things where there was a good intention. There was a need to protect women from domestic violence. That makes perfect sense. There was definitely a need to protect men from domestic violence as well. But then you see how these things have been changed and misused and politicized. And when I go into court in the morning, like today I was in court, there's 25 cases on the docket for a particular judge, and 15 or 16 of them are domestic violence cases. And I would say that it seems like most relationships today end with a restraining order. This is what women do. Basically, at the end of the relationship, she's sitting there steaming and stewing and pissed off at you. And she's saying to her girlfriend, I can't believe the way he treated me. He's such an asshole. And the girlfriend says, let's go to court and do something. So they go to the courthouse the next day. They don't have a lawyer. They don't have any money. So they go to what's called the self-help center. And they say, I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. And the self-help center tells them, well, I'll tell you what's free, a domestic violence restraining order. And they go, oh, perfect, let me get one of those. And meanwhile, that can make you lose your job. I've got police officers calling me, Tom, who get a domestic violence restraining order against them. Well, one of the things when you have a domestic violence restraining order is you cannot have a gun. And so if you're a police officer, you're done. You're on administrative leave. Yeah, it's not funny.
Yeah.
And by the way, as you know, Tom, the domestic violence restraining order can be made against you without notice and without you being at the hearing. So she can go to court on her own and never give you notice. That's against the Constitution. The Constitution says you have a right to due process. Okay? She goes in. She has a hearing in front of a judge with you not present, and you don't even know that it's going on. She gets the order. She serves it on you, and then you are required to give up your gun. You have to get away from her. You may have to move out of your own house. You may have to stay away from her job and even your children. She can list the children and family members you have to stay away from, and then you don't get a hearing for 3 weeks. And then you walk in, and the judge is already looking at you and going, you piece of shit, because the judge has read the statements and allegations that she made, and she, of course, is going to make them sound as bad as possible. What you thought?
We'll take a break here. We're going to come back with Adam Sachs. We'll also tell you how you can get in touch with Adam coming up here. If you've got a legal question, Adam will answer it for you right here, right now at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Jeff Spreen and our friends at Spreen Honda are back. Welcome back, these great P1 listeners. And you know, if you want to drive one of the most reliable cars on the road, you have to consider a Honda. Summer's coming, and right now, a great time to enjoy a new car. You know, the folks at Spreen Honda have a full stock of brand new Hondas. Plus, they've got quality, affordable used cars, all the major brands. Are you considering a new car? Maybe you've got a family member or a friend who's considering a new car. Hey, boys, let's spread the word. Our P1 friends at Spreen Honda are there to serve you. Now, you can check out their selection and your great prices at SpreenHonda.com. That's S as in Sam, P-R-E-E-N, Honda.com. Spreen Honda's huge dealership, only about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and Orange County. All you do is jump on the 10 freeway east. You can see them right from the freeway. It's Spreen Honda. Call them right now, 909-799-7070. That's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda and SpreenHonda.com.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer, faster, harder. New normal rock.
How do you like to improve your financial future? Simply by watching videos. Well, these are not just any videos. They're webinars by Dennis. And they could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, here's someone who's seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique and insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing that knowledge with you in a series of videos called Webinars by Dennis, packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that could help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your back, PC or smartphone, and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed of. Just go to this website, webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call. I answer my own phone at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com. And, of course, check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
There we go. All right, let's take another call here for Adam Sachs in this bonus hour. Mark in Provo, Utah. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Great.
So I really fucked up. I got a DUI out here in Provo.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I'm black. I'm from South Carolina. I work for the Utah National Guard, and I'm active duty. So I'm afraid I'm going to lose my security clearance.
Yeah, it's serious stuff. You know, people, as I've always said, get into these things, and very often they want to just, you know, get it over with and plead guilty and all that. But there is a serious ramification for having a conviction, whatever it is. And DUI is one of the more serious ones. And considering how many there are every day and how many people are convicted of it, and what a, as we were talking about, Tom, what a joke it's treated as, considering how serious it really is, the bottom line is that it ends up being something that can really screw people's careers up. And as a guardsman, obviously you're dealing with military issues or military secrets. They may not look very favorably upon something like this. You probably should talk to the Office of like Personnel or whatever and just ask them the hypothetical question, you know, what do they think, what would happen if you had a DUI? And you may want to talk to some of the other soldiers you know in terms of what they say about it and what their experience has been if they know some other guys in your unit or whatever who got a DUI. But I would fight it, of course. What are the circumstances? What happened? Were you going to a bar or a friend's house, or what was it?
So this is what happened. Two of my soldiers called me and said they're going out. One of them was leaving, and he was like, he wanted to have a drink with me and, you know, party before he went out. So I went ahead and went out with the two soldiers, and we had a good time. Leaving the bar, we get back into my Jeep, my car, and as soon as we turn the corner, I get pulled over.
Right.
Tell me
you did what I told you, right? You didn't make any statements. You didn't help them out. You didn't do a blow test or anything?
Well, I was real calm at first. And then the cop just kept badgering me, kept asking me questions. And, hey, I smell alcohol in your car. I'm like, hey, it's probably a passenger in my car. I'm just driving them home. That's all. And he just kept going. He wouldn't let me, you know, just go. I was like, can I just have a ticket for speeding? He pulled me over for going 44 and a 35. So I was like, that's fine. Just give me a ticket. And he wouldn't. He just wouldn't let me go. Because I want you to get out of the car, do a breathalyzer. I refused, of course. And I said, can I have a lawyer present? If I did, he kept saying, well, if you refuse, then I'm taking you to jail. I was like, I'm not refusing. I just want someone present, you know, if I do a breathalyzer. This went on for about 10 minutes. And then he said he was going to take me to jail for refusing. So I got out, and I did the field sobriety test.
I refused to do the breathalyzer. That's really ignorant. You don't let the cop talk you into it. You have to stick to your guns.
People describe these
circumstances. I understand it's coercive and the cop's there with a badge and a gun and everything, but you got to say, look, officer, I'm not teasing. I'm not going to change my mind. You cannot get into conversations. You have the right to remain silent, and you have the right against self-incrimination. And you're incriminating yourself. You're having conversations with the cop. He is writing down everything you say and do. I have these reports. And everything you say and do is going to be used against you. So if you're saying, I'm not doing it, that's it. You say, you already heard me, officer. I've already given you my answer. I don't want to debate it any further. That's it.
Right. So we keep going, and he's like, well, now you need to do the breathalyzer. I'm like, no, I won't do that. So I tell him I'll go to the jail and do a blood alcohol test.
Right.
So he handcuffs me and all that good stuff. I'm badgering him the whole time, honestly. I really do incriminate myself. Like, I talk. Like the whole freaking time.
Why?
I'm just super nervous.
Why?
I don't know.
Child? Shut up. Shut up.
I know. But I was just so nervous and I couldn't help it.
I got to be honest with you. And I am sympathetic and I understand. Okay? But you're only screwing yourself and you're only making my job in saving you that much more difficult. And I talk to girls who talk like you. They'll say, oh, I couldn't help myself. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Okay, you're an adult, you're over 18, get control of your life, okay? This is very, very critical stuff. It's going to have big ramifications for you. It's not reasonable when people talk about doing stupid things or hurting themselves and they say, I couldn't help myself. What the hell is that supposed to mean? That goes right back to the conversations that Tom has with these dumbasses that are screwing these girls without condoms. And it's like, oh, well, how could you do that? Oh, I couldn't help myself. Well, throw your life down the john because you couldn't help yourself. It's nonsense.
All right. So from there, the cop goes on to tow my car, and I'm like, hey, there's someone right there that can tow my car. Actually, I park in a valid parking spot and everything. I'm like, please don't tow it. But apparently here in Utah, it's the law to have your car towed.
Well, it's actually the cop's. It's up to the cop's discretion, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I'm like, can you release me into someone else's custody then? Like, there's someone right here that can take me into their custody, you know? And he's like, no. And I'm like,
again, a cop gets credit for what's called collaring someone. And so he's collared you. Okay, you seem to be having this negotiation with him where you're chatting with him and saying, oh, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? You shouldn't be talking to him at all. You're not in an equal bargaining position. Okay, so there's no reason to be talking to him. All right, you just go through the motions and that's it. That's all. There's no reason that you're having all these discussions with the cop. He's not your friend. He's not one of your buddies. He's the asshole that's arresting you. Okay. And you're like, what, pleading for mercy or something? Here, do me a favor. Let me move my car. Hey, do me a favor. Can you let your other guy arrest me? Well, what are you doing? What?
I'm just
what
not
wanting
to get my car
towed.
I ended up paying $1,000 to get it out. Well, no. 600 and some change to get it out.
No, I think that's the least of your problems in the scheme of things. Because the big problem is going to be losing your security clearance and not being able to continue being a soldier and continuing the job that you have.
Right.
I don't think 600 bucks is the problem. Talk about focusing on the wrong thing.
Right. But to get this, I honestly only had one drink. The blood alcohol level test hasn't come back yet, and I'm sure it's under like 0.04 or 5 or something like that. So I'm like, I guess he just took my accent of me being slurred or something, because I kind of talk weird, and especially when I'm nervous, it's just worse. So I'm
you shouldn't be talking to him.
Right. Right.
He would never have noticed your accent.
Right.
So anyway, why don't you call me off the air? I think you need a lawyer, okay?
Okay.
I'm not trying to beat you up. I hope the other guys are listening, okay? Because it sounds to me like even when you were doing a lot of these things, you knew that you shouldn't have been.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to put you on with Dean, and Dean will put you in touch with Adam. And you guys can discuss. Once again, Adam, how can people reach you?
They can call me at 800-340-7320. Now, Tom, in all seriousness, okay, when he's talking about this blubbering and all this, and I couldn't help myself, what's that supposed to mean, Tom? What do we do with that?
Well, all I can say is that, your advice is what I would follow, which is to say nothing. Shut up, shut up, shut up.
He's saying now that he felt bad and the cop noticed he had an accent. And it's like all of this is all connected to the main problem. If he had just shut up, there wouldn't have been any accent. There wouldn't have been any recognition of this. It would have been the end of it.
Shut up. Oh,
there
we go. Shut up. Shut up.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, that's the bottom line. Why bring it into controversy when you can just do nothing? It is so lovely that we have this right in the United States. And here, he's talking to the cop, oh, help me move my car. You see, he's focusing, again, penny wise, pound foolish. He's focusing on the cost of the towing, which is unpleasant, and it's $600, but that's the least of his problems. That's the very least of his problems, because the overall experience and the loss of his career is the real expense. And basically, the best thing to do is let the cops do what they're doing and just try to stay to yourself and keep your wits about you.
Exactly right. And we always have these guys who can't shut up. We always have these guys who, essentially give the cop their case. They just lay it on them.
It's not a joke.
It's unbelievable. All right, Adam. Again, next Tuesday, you'll see Adam Sachs right here, sitting in that very chair over there. Of course, next week, we'll be talking about divorce with Adam. It's a bonus hour with Adam Sachs every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's
unbelievable.
Beer Magazine. New numbers show that women are most likely to gain weight at the age of 38, while for men it's 44. Well, how old are you now? The study says that eating two dinners
getting comfortable in relationships and long working hours are to blame. The women surveyed picked the ages from 35 to 40 when they feel that they gain the most weight. That's pretty much the deal right there.
Done.
D-U-N
what about driving
done.
Between jobs? Does that have anything to do with it?
Passing 600 goddamn fast food places.
Only when you hit three fast food joints in one trip.
I'm trying to take the freeways, you guys. There are no fucking fast food places. I take that, the 10 to the 110 to the 5,
right.
And then I get off.
Does
them.
It suck when you pass the signs that are just off those freeway exits?
Thank God. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard. So then I come
you
in the back way and then
Paul and Sydney
only pass by the headquarters of Baskin Robbins. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, hate to see it happen, but apparently it's a common thing.
The new way I'm going, I literally only pass that one place.
All right, good. General Motors saying on Tuesday it's recalling another 2.42 million vehicles in the
now
United
what?
States, raising the number of vehicles as it's recalled this year to more than 15 million. Million.
Man.
That's some fucking crazy shit. God damn it. I don't know. It's more ignition shit and safety crap. I think they've, the jig's up. They've got to come forward and can't be hiding anymore.
Yeah, they really have to.
And take it on the chin.
They have to, like, be very proactive. If you start to see a pattern, they got to get after it. Otherwise, they're going to get hit with these massive fines and recalls.
Unlike the other recall, GM says there are no fatalities associated with these latest recalls.
Yeah.
The first one had at least 13 deaths.
Both be happy.
Apparently, if you have a Buick Enclave,
you should automatically.
Or a Chevy Traverse.
Yeah, you're in trouble. Even before you
you're
get to
in
this.
Trouble. But the Arcadia is also included, the Malibu, Pontiac G6, Chevy Silverado, bunch of shit. Wow.
So the Buick is no Enclave, and the Chevy is unable to traverse. Is that what they're saying?
Exactly.
And you end up in
those
Arcadia.
Precise words. Pamela Anderson dropping a bomb on Friday.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
As she launches her animal rights charity.
Yep.
Saying that she was molested for years as a child by a family babysitter. And then later on raped by a like a friend of a friend or something.
Friend's boyfriend?
Yeah, crazy shit. And then apparently.
That's her first heterosexual.
Right.
Her first heterosexual experience. First of all, from 6 to 10, she was allegedly, taken advantage by a female babysitter. Then when she was 12, she had sex with a 25-year-old dude against her will.
And then her first boyfriend that she had thought it would be a good idea if he and, like, five other buddies fucked her. All this is to say she loves animals now. And that's pretty much the deal.
Yes.
Pick alert for you. This will be the best Kmart ad you'll ever see.
Ever?
It's Sophia Viagra.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Sporting what I think is a bathing suit or lingerie, something. Yeah. She got a whole line of clothing over there at Kmart.
Right. I'm sporting wood, and she's got the leopard print.
Right. If you go to Kmart at 3rd and Fairfax here in Los Angeles, you'll never see a woman that looks anything like this ever.
No, you won't.
No. And not only are the broads ugly, but they all smell like Little Caesars because it's attached. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out our podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Listen up, all you guitar players. Here's a way for you to take your chops to a whole new level. It's Unusual Guitar Scales from Around the World, a brand new book by P1 guitarist Rafe Orheim, an entertaining look at 14 unique guitar scales and unusual exotic scale sounds you've likely never played. In addition, this book provides riffs, licks, and chords derived from those scales that are out of this world. There's even a history with color photos of each country's distinct musical instruments and unique sounds, along with numerous music examples, standard guitar notation, and tablature. And talk about P1, Rafe even mentions our show as a source of inspiration. It's unusual guitar scales from around the world. Buy it on Amazon today.
This is the new normal.